welcome to Begin Again Mama. I'm your host, Tia, holistic nutritionist, integrative nutrition health coach, prenatal, postpartum nutrition professional with a focus on whole person health. I'm not a doctor, and this episode does not replace advice from your provider for your specific circumstances. Well, Mama, you have made it to the third trimester. The baby and yourself are growing so beautifully. It can be common for you to feel hungry at this point all the time and have the exact opposite feeling the next minute. You could be really hungry but just not have room for food due to the decrease in capacity for food due to baby size and your growth as your organs are shifting and adjusting inside of your body. You may be experiencing shortness of breath due to lungs being squished and heartburn possibly, not to mention the anticipation for labor and birth. The third trimester can feel physically and emotionally intense. We want to continue to listen to our bodies in this trimester. They give us a lot of valuable information. Having a whole person focus in this trimester is essential. If you're experiencing leg cramps, it may mean that you need more magnesium and calcium. If swelling is a complaint, take a look at your protein and sea salt intake. Both are required for reducing swelling in the body. If you're experiencing overwhelming worries about when baby is coming or how it will go, this is our cue to slow down, recenter, and focus on what is in our control while surrender to what is out of our control. Our body's messages, signals, symptoms are opportunities for us to pick up on our needs that we must meet. Tuning into it will serve you and your baby long term. So let's get into it. What are our top five controllables when it comes to whole person health in the third trimester? Our first is nutrition and hydration. At this point in pregnancy, less than 50% of people are meeting their protein needs. We are needing about 1.52 grams per kilograms of body weight in the third trimester. This is about 50% higher than the recommended guidelines given to us by providers. So this means we need a whole lot more protein than we think we do, because the majority of the protein we consume are being deposited into our baby's tissues, which is a great thing, but it's taking from our stores, our protein intake, if we are not eating enough of it. On top of protein not getting enough, less than 20% of pregnant people are meeting their veggie intake needs by the third trimester. This is not great news. We need to make sure that we are focusing on our proteins and our veggies at every single meal and snack opportunity. The lived experience of the third trimester often looks like decrease in appetite and capacity to eat meals as the baby grows. I think this is the biggest contributor to that less than 20% of people meeting their veggie intake and less than 50% of people getting their protein needs met, because we focus on snacks versus small meals. If we switch our focus to looking at mini meals, meaning what would I typically eat at a meal, and just cut that in half and eat them a couple hours apart, it's going to be a little bit easier to meet those needs. So small frequent meals, it is in our best interest to prioritize certain foods by picking our meals strategically to maximize nutrient intake. The best strategy is small frequent meals, not just snacks, but literally splitting up your regular meals and eating half now and half in a couple hours. The problem with snacking strategy versus the small meal strategy is snacks are often carb and sugar heavy. We don't get enough protein, iron, omega-3s, vitamin C, choline, folate. We don't get enough vegetables. when we are constantly snacking on snack foods. This often can lead to fatigue, heartburn, constipation, low iron, lack of sleep, and high stress issues. These are also common symptoms that we hear about in the third trimester that can be managed by our eating habits. Prioritizing nutrient-dense foods may look like for you doing cooked veggies over raw veggies, because we typically can eat more cooked veggies than we can raw. Focusing on nuts and nut butters, avocados, proteins, focusing on these high nutrient dense foods when we go to eat these mini meals versus just grabbing a quick bar or a shake or something like that. Now that you're in the third trimester, it is time to consider labor and birth prep. Two foods I like to focus on for labor and birth are dates and red raspberry leaf tea. Eating 4 to 6 dates, depending on the size of the date, starting around 36 weeks of pregnancy, can help ripen your cervix to prepare for labor. There is no evidence suggesting that eating dates prior to 36 weeks will have a negative effect, so feel free to start consuming them at any point. I personally didn't start consuming them until the 36 weeks on the daily basis of about 5 dates a day, just because I got sick of them really quickly. But I did find a ton of fun and wonderful recipes to make dates very delicious on Instagram and Facebook. Our second controllable from the whole person health perspective is movement. I know it might start to be more challenging, but stick with the consistent routine of movement. Your body is going to tell you how to move it and when to move it if you tune into it daily. Listening to your body when it comes to strength training, maybe moving into body weight, because as you grow, body weight is plenty and there's no need to overwork your pelvic floor with extra weight or add strain to your lower back if you don't need to. Daily squats and practicing deep squats are great for labor prep. Regular movement along with proper hydration and protein intake will reduce your swelling in the third trimester. It's common for pregnant people to complain about swelling, not able to wear the same rings or shoes, but it's not necessarily normal. We aren't meant to swell to the extent that our daily life is altered. We can ensure swelling reduction by sticking to our regular movement routine and avoiding sitting in the same position for too long. As we are in the third trimester, posture is very important. Leaning forward as often as we can, using an exercise ball rather than a chair. Try to sleep on your left side, ideally, but it's okay if you sleep on your right too. Just about avoiding sleeping on the back. And obviously, belly laying is not really possible anymore. Ideally, have your knees lower than your hips when you do sit. And if you become intentional and conscious about your posture early in pregnancy by the third trimester, it can become more of an unconscious habit by the end of the pregnancy when it really does matter. Our third controllable when it comes to whole person health is our mindset. Check in with yourself. Where are you mentally right now? Are you trusting your body? Trusting your baby and trusting the process you're both going through? Are you worrying about things that are out of your control? Where can you let go and surrender to ease your mind? Weight gain and growing body is inevitable for most pregnant people. I recommend ditching the scale all of pregnancy because weight gain is not linear and it's not worth stressing over. The truth is, as long as you're engaging in regular movement for the act of feeling good and listening to your body's hunger cues without using pregnancy as an excuse to overeat or eat junk, your body will gain exactly what it needs to. Leave the weighing up to your provider to watch if there are concerns. Things can become quite uncomfortable in the third trimester, both physically and emotionally. Find the modalities that work for you to ease that discomfort. They could be meditation, music, movement, yoga, stretching, journaling, reading, watching positive birth stories, taking a simple walk. Whatever helps you surrender to the process and find peace in this season is what is important. It may be the time new stretch marks start to appear in your body. And just remember, pregnancy weight gain is not linear. The stretch marks may have started showing up before this trimester, and that's okay too. We have earned the right for our bodies to change. They aren't supposed to stay the same throughout life. We can support our stretching skin ability through grass-fed collagen and gelatin, vitamin C foods, high-quality protein, healthy fats, and omega-3s. When it comes to mindset and our due date, we need to keep in mind that the due date is more like a guesstimate. It's a guess month, really, because a healthy pregnancy can be anywhere from 38 to 42 weeks. And this is a huge difference. So trust the process. The average first-time mom goes to 40 weeks and 5 days. Half go before that, half go after that. The due date is not an eviction notice. Your baby will come when the baby is ready. Above all, trust your body, trust your baby when it comes to this period of time. And lean into the fact that we only have so much control over our labor and birth. This is a natural process. Your body knows what it is doing. Do what you can to surrender to this process and let it unfold in the ways it's meant to, because it is so much healthier to do it this way for yourself and your baby. Our fourth controllable, real food as supplements and the supplements when we need them. Third trimester is the baby's biggest growth spurt period, meaning they require a lot of nutrients right now. We can be very intentional to meet the baby's nutritional needs through real foods without going into depleting our body's needs and making that postpartum nutritional depletion even greater. The first one I want to focus on is calcium. Baby's bones are formed earlier in pregnancy, but they are now calcifying. So ensuring that you are taking in enough high-quality calcium is important. We can do this through high-quality grass-fed full-fat dairy products, seeds including sesame, poppy, and chia seeds, tahini, almonds, leafy greens, salmon, beans, and lentils, edamame, and tofu. I also want us to really take a look at our iodine intake. The transfer of iodine to baby largely takes place in the third trimester. It's important for maintaining the mother's thyroid and developing our baby's thyroid. It also plays a large role in normal growth and cognitive development. Most prenatals do have iodine in them. Take a look at your prenatal and ensure that it's there. We can also meet our baby's needs by eating things like sea veggies, nori or seaweed, seafood, high quality full fat dairy products, table salt, and eggs. The third one I want to look at is iron. Iron deficiency is the most common in the third trimester. It is common, but it is not normal. We want to prioritize our iron and supplement when necessary, because iron deficiency is linked to risks of preterm birth, low birth weight, maternal mortality, and a lot of other serious things. The body absorbs most iron from food versus a supplement, so prioritizing iron-rich foods now is a good idea. The iron baby will access for the first 6 months of life will be transferred from mom to baby at this time. That is why we are usually seeing iron deficiencies in the third trimester. About 5 to 8 milligrams a day is being absorbed by the baby. foods to lean into right now for iron: leafy greens, grass-fed beef, chicken, salmon, beans, lentils, spinach, kale, broccoli. We can increase our iron absorption by pairing these foods with vitamin C-rich foods. Remember, when you want more vitamin C, think color on your plate from whole food sources. Pairing our meat proteins with veggies is always a good idea to increase that protein and veggie intake that we talked about earlier that so many pregnant people are not meeting right now. The fourth mineral I want to focus on is magnesium. Magnesium is excellent for combating leg cramps, preterm labor, constipation, and insomnia. Leafy greens like spinach, almonds, pumpkin seeds, avocados, black beans, tart cherry juice are so good for magnesium. Red raspberry leaf tea is not only rich in vitamins and minerals, but studies have shown that if it is consumed regularly later on in pregnancy, starting at about 32 weeks and beyond, it actually can make labor go faster, reduce complications and interventions during birth by toning the uterus. I personally was drinking about a pitcher of red raspberry leaf tea by week 39 until I went into labor. And for a first-time mom, my labor was quick and efficient. There is no doubt in my mind that I will be doing this again for subsequent pregnancies. Our last controllable I want to talk about is reducing our toxic load at this time. Go organic when possible. Don't let yourself or your family eat pesticides and herbicides when you don't have to. They lower the antioxidant content in the fruit and vegetables you eat, which in turn lowers your body's natural detoxification ability. Organic meats and dairy products are important as well. The livestock become what they eat, just as we become what we eat. If they are consuming chemicals and numerous pesticides, their tissues are going to be made up of them. I know that it's not always financially possible to go 100% organic. The EWG.org offers a phenomenal list of the Dirty Dozen and Clean 15. This can help you prioritize which produce to buy organic and which is okay to buy non-organic based on the amount of pesticides found in the produce. As I'm currently recording this in February of 2024, the best to prioritize for organic right now is strawberries, spinach, kale, collard, and mustard greens, pears, nectarines, apples, grapes, bell and hot peppers, cherries, blueberries, and green beans. The produce on the Clean 15, which is more okay to buy non-organic, are avocados, sweet corn, pineapple, onions, papaya, frozen sweet peas, asparagus, honeydew melon, kiwi, cabbage, mushrooms, mangoes, sweet potatoes, watermelon, and carrots. Some other great ways to reduce your toxic load in your house are having indoor plants. They not only consume carbon dioxide, but they also absorb air pollution. Great options include peace lily, aloe vera, and a Boston fern. My number one way to reduce my toxic load for my family is removing our shoes before we come in the house. Our shoes carry a shocking amount of pesticides, germs, and chemicals. This is a free way to reduce our toxic load and a very simple switch by just making sure we don't wear our shoes inside. Now that we have covered my five whole person health controllables in the third trimester, I want to take some time to bring up meal planning for postpartum. I felt very underprepared with meals after my first birth. My husband did prep some meals, but they did not last us very long, and we mistakenly consumed them all the week that he had off. Rookie mistake, as we should have saved those for when he was back at work and it was just me at home. Keep in mind, finding the right method for you is important, so I will review a few options that I like to use and share with clients. Tips for meal planning that support postpartum nutrition. Freezer food prep. Take almost 100% of the work away once you have your baby. Meal planning, shopping, and food prep, cooking, and most of the cleanup if possible. Ideally, to prepare for the first month so the physical, mental, and emotional energy can be spent elsewhere, aka on your baby and family. So how do we do this? Our first approach can be slow and steady by doubling up on freezer-friendly favorites as they are being made anyway in your kitchen the months leading up to the baby's birth. You can do half for tonight and half for the freezer. The other way is to do it in the fast and furious with a postpartum freezer prep day or days. List of freezer-friendly meals and snacks that can be made in one or several settings. Most or all of it goes straight into the freezer that day. It is best if you can recruit some friends and family and make this a wish list for your friends and family versus just having wish items on your registry. So there are four categories of food to freeze. Our first are ready-to-go meals that fit the pillars of postpartum healing. Our first can be broth-based soft-cooked meals that are high in protein and plants to support healing, avoid constipation, and replenish nutrients that have been lost. Think bone broths, stews, soups, roasts. These things are great for postpartum and freeze wonderfully. Our second is batch-friendly meals in high protein and iron with zero work once defrosted. Think chili, fajitas, having the protein and vegetables pre-cooked, pre-chopped up, and you can just throw it into a pan to reheat and eat. The second type of category we want to look at for freezing is one-handed snacks. Think muffins, bars, protein balls, smoothie bags. Put everything except the liquid into a bag that you can throw into a blender. Our third are meal maker components. So having ready-to-go meal bases like grains, rice, wraps, breads in the freezer ready to go, along with some cooked, marinated, and ready-to-go proteins, especially proteins with the bone in and skin on, for extra nutrients that are needed. The last category are grab and go for breakfasts. Think egg muffins, burritos, protein pancakes, breakfast cookies, homemade hot pockets. These things are great to have in the freezer and ready to go in those early mornings that you do not have the energy for making a warm breakfast. We also can prep our pantry. No or minimum work is required for meals and snacks. So think canned beans and lentils, sardines, anchovies, whatever you personally enjoy eating, along with nuts and seeds, butters as well, dried fruits, nut and seed crackers, corn chips for dipping, things that can go in your pantry that have a long shelf life and require very minimum work on your part when you go to consume them. And fresh food to have ready in the fridge. Think fruit trays, veggie trays, prepared proteins, meal kits, sauces, and dips. Some other great ideas are do-it-yourself snack packs, something that is ready when the hunger strikes, even at 3 a.m. Kind of think like a healthy version of a Lunchable. Okay, this was a lot of information for this season you're currently in. I honestly feel like I could have offered so much more, but I wanted to keep this digestible for you while giving as much as I could. The third trimester is filled with growth, nesting, and slowing down to come into yourself as you prepare for the transition into motherhood. As of right now, I'm offering a free 30-minute strategy session based on 3 to 5 days worth of food log photos and a conversation around your lived experience. I follow up with 2 weeks of virtual support while you implement the suggestions that we discuss. We then can talk about options for support beyond those 2 weeks based on your personal needs. Coaching is so beneficial in all seasons of life because you don't have to make these changes alone. You can do it with support, accountability, and the knowledge of others who have gone before you in making holistic lifestyle changes. I find lifelong habit changes to be such an opportunity and privilege to make. My calendar link is available in the show notes and on my Instagram at tia.walden. That is TIA.WALDEN. Reach out to me, mama, and remember, each moment is an opportunity to begin again. Thank you for joining Begin Again, Mama. I am grateful you chose to spend time with me. I know how busy you are and how precious your time really is. If you like this podcast, I invite you to subscribe or follow on your desired platform. And when you do, please rate and review Begin Again, Mama. This helps me expand our reach. Until next time, remember, each moment is an opportunity to start anew and begin again, Mama.